Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading for the Transfiguration of our Lord is from Exodus chapter 34. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone, because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. When Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of our Lord. The epistle reading is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. For we did not follow clearly devised myths when we made known to you that the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he reached honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him with majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this very voice, born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure than the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I went a little out of turn, but we can say the catechetical review found in your bulletin, if you guys want to read along. The sacred of holy baptism. Second, what benefits does baptism give? It works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the word and promises of God declare. Which of these words and promises of God? Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned."
Please stand as we sing together the Gospel Alleluia. The Holy Gospel for the Transfiguration of our Lord from Matthew chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise, and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. I would invite all of our children to please come forward. I got it, thanks. Good morning. How are you guys this morning? Good. We have all kinds of stuff this morning. You know what these are? It's a motorcycle, that's right. But this is actually what's called a set of bookends. Do you know what bookends do? You might, if you have a bunch of books, you might put the bookends on a shelf, and then you take your books, and what does the bookend do? It holds the books up. So, you know, the bookends are lovely to look at and things, but the important stuff is usually right in the middle, right? All the books that we use, it keeps our books straight and upright. So bookends kind of hold things together. Well, today, in the two lessons, we have some bookends. In the Old Testament reading, we have the story about Moses. Did you hear what happened to Moses when he went into God's presence? Moses came out and his face was glowing. It was so bright that when Moses came out to the people, they didn't want to look at it. They said, "Moses, put a veil, put something over your face so we don't see you glowing." And in the gospel reading at the end, we see Jesus, he goes up on the mountain with three of his friends. And when he's up on top of the mountain, he's changed. And guess what Jesus is doing? Jesus is glowing. So we kind of have these bookends right here that hold everything in between. Now, when we talk about Moses, we have to remember what Moses did. You know what these are right here? What are they? The what? The stone tablets, right? What's on the tablets? There's 10 of these things on here. Do you know what they are?
Yeah, what are the numbers?
Yep, they're the numbers on the side. These are the?
Numbers.
10 Commandments. These are the Ten Commandments that we learn. Now, these aren't the actual Ten Commandments. Somebody made these for me. But they have all 10 of God's commandments, all 10 of God's laws. Do you remember what the Ten Commandments are? Can we go through them quick? What's the first one?
You should have no other
God. No other God. Second one? We could do them like we do in preschool. Second one is remember God's name. The third one, remember God's day. The fourth one, honor God. Right, five, six, you shall not commit adultery, seven, you shall not steal, eight, you shall not lie, nine and ten we put together, you shall not. We call this God's law. Now, what does the law do? If you pull up to a stop sign, what are you supposed to do? Right, the law shows us what we are to do, right? So God says, don't have any other laws. So we have the law right here, and we'll put that in the bookmark, or in the, and then we have something else. When we have God's law in front of us, can we keep God's commandments? Can we? Maybe a little itty bitty bit. But can we save them enough that God will let us into heaven because we've kept them? We can't. Have any of you ever not listened to mom and dad? Yep, me too. All of us have. Have you ever not wanted to go to church because mom or dad said, it's time to go to church Sunday morning? Have you ever wanted not to go to church? Yep, me too. You see, we're guilty of breaking all of the law. And we're reminded that if we break any of the commandments even one time, what happens? We're not perfect. And we can't go to heaven. So the commandments of God won't save us. All they do is tell us what we've done wrong. But God doesn't leave us there with just the law. God gives us, he gives us Jesus. And what did Jesus do for us? Right. He died on the cross for us. So all of these commandments right here that say to you, you have to keep these commandments perfectly and we can't. Do you know what Jesus did? He kept all of the commandments perfectly. Every one. Jesus never broke any commandment. And when he got done keeping all of the commandments, do you know what he did with that? He gave it to you. He gave it to you so that no more the law cannot say to you, Hannah, you're a lawbreaker. You can't go to be with Jesus. Jesus filled the law completely, and now he says to all of us, you are holy. You are forgiven. Come and be with me in my kingdom. So right here in these bookmarks, we have these great things that God teaches us. We have the law and the and the Bible, but when we talk about Jesus, we use another word. We have the law and the gospel. Can you say gospel? Gospel really means Jesus. So when God gives us these things, he gives us the law to show us that we need help, that we need a Savior, and then he gives us the gospel. He gives us Jesus, who forgives all of our sins by keeping the law perfectly for us. Now we don't have to worry because we know we're forgiven through Jesus. Well, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for keeping the law. Thank you for giving that to me. Thank you for forgiving me and giving me faith. In your name, amen. All right, guys, thanks for coming up here. And we continue with our next hymn. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you again for the gift of the law and the gospel and the forgiveness of sins that we have in Christ alone. Enlighten us, dear Father, that we might go forward shining with the hope and promise that comes through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless us now in the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. A number of years ago, a long time ago actually, when I was just finishing a job, I was leaving that job to start seminary in the process, one of my co-workers knew I loved motorcycles, so she gave me this, a set of bookends. And they still sat on our shelf at home, and I remember the gift. But really, the bookends are very functional. They hold what's in the middle, and what's in the middle is what's really important. In the readings for today, we have a very important set of bookends. We have an Old Testament bookend, we have a New Testament bookend, and the two bookends hold together the hope and the promise that we have in the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ alone. In the Old Testament reading that you heard this morning, we see the picture of Moses. Moses has been up with God on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments. He comes back down to his people, and Moses is glowing. Not pregnant glowing, Moses' face is glowing, and when he comes before the people, it scares them, because nobody else is glowing like that. And they ask Moses to put a veil over his face to dim this glowing, to dim this glory of God that comes from him. God had called Moses into his presence. And as he did that, any time that happens, when God calls us into his presence, he changes us. For Moses, the change was visible. He was glowing. It was so bright that when Moses was talking to the people, it offended them. It scared them. And they wanted Moses to put the veil over his face to dim the glow. That's bookend number one. Today's Transfiguration Sunday, you see by the white paraments, Jesus takes his closest three disciples, Peter and the brothers, James and John with him, and he takes them up to the mountain, and there Jesus is changed. Jesus glows, not because he's in the presence of God like Moses. Jesus is letting these three see him for who he really is. You see, Jesus' divine glory has been veiled by his humanity, by his flesh, by him coming into our presence as one of us. His humility now as the Son of Man who serves us is veiling his godly power. Now, the fullness of his glory has been veiled in his human flesh and blood, but for a moment, Jesus lets the disciples see him as God, who he is. For this brief moment, Peter and James and John see the full and complete second member of the Trinity. With Jesus is the Old Testament lawgiver, Moses, is the prophet Elijah, and this is bookend number two. Moses and Elijah and Jesus. In the Old Testament, we see Moses, the lawgiver, the one who brought us the Ten Commandments from God, and he gave them to us. In the Gospel reading, we see Jesus, the law fulfiller for us, who through his perfect sacrifice on the cross kept all of the commandments perfectly and gifted that to us in faith. Our life is right in the middle of these two bookends, in the middle between the law and the gospel, in the middle between the Ten Commandments and Jesus. When Moses brought the Ten Commandments to God's people, they were confronted with their sin. Moses had been up on the mountain. God's people down at the foot of the mountain were tired of waiting for Moses, so they decided to make their own God. A golden calf they put in their presence, something that they made, a God of their own creation. And they saw the wrath of God released upon them when Moses came down and 3,000 men were killed that day because of their disobedience. The law of God, his Ten Commandments, and the lawgiver Moses brought terror, and he exposed their sin and their hatred of God. And the same thing happens today with the law. It exposes our sin. It exposes our disobedience, our hatred of God. The law then and now does the same thing. It brings our sin to light. So their response and our response is the same. Let's put a veil over it. Let's cover the law so it's not so offensive. Let's cover everything that shows me that I'm broken so that I can continue to live how I want. Put a veil over your face, Moses. We don't want to be reminded of our sin, of God's law. We don't want to be different than you. We don't want to be different than the world. And so quickly, we try to put a veil over God's law that is there for our good and for our salvation. We cover the perfect law of God with excuses all the time. We excuse ourselves from all the commandments. We excuse ourselves from the fourth commandment. Whenever we deny the authority that God has placed over us. Mom and Dad just don't get me. I don't need their rules. I'm perfectly fine. I can do it the way I want. I'm smarter than they are. Do you see the veil being put over the commandment of authority that God has given to us? Here's one from a few years ago. The president is not leading the way that I think he should. Not my president. Even though the authority, every single authority, presidents and parents are put over us and into our world by God's authority. You shall not murder, the fifth commandment. That's pretty clear, unless you're pregnant and the pregnancy is unwanted. Then suddenly your will, your independence, the things you want to do are more important than the life that God has created and given to us. We excuse it away saying, my body, my choice. Or maybe it's just a clump of cells or a little tissue. And we put a veil over God's law. We cover God's law with our selfishness. We want all of the gifts that the sixth commandment gives. We want family and friends and intimacy and all of these things with the sixth commandment. Companionship. And yet we want them outside of the bonds of marriage. We reorder God's perfect commandment because I want it this way and not God's way. And then we expect God to be okay with that. We cover the lawgiver responsibilities of the church with more socially accepted responsibilities. Instead of preaching God's law so clearly that we see our sin and our need for a Savior, we take up social justice, defending the rights of those who insist on living contrary to God's word. We put a veil over God's law. The focus of the church becomes teaching morality and tolerance and defending and demanding my position. Not faith, which brings repentance that leads to forgiveness and peace with God through Jesus. Our sin has always wanted to cover God's perfect law because the law is a constant reminder that I'm broken, that I'm a sinner, that the punishment for my sin is my death. Dear saints, our hope is not in being excused from the law. Our hope is on the one that fulfilled every single law for us perfectly and gifted us to that and gave us forgiveness through his own death on the cross that we might stand holy and righteous before God. Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration showed Peter and James and John that he was more than just a teacher. He was more than just a miracle worker. He was the one who can and did stand between us and the demands of the law. Jesus is there talking with Moses and Elijah. He's talking about his exodus from this world. Not an escape from the fulfillment, not an escape, but the complete fulfillment of the law for us. The complete fulfillment of the law for you. When Jesus was on the cross, just before he gave up his spirit, he said, "It is finished." Dear saints, he said this to you. He said this specifically to you to remind us all that our sins, every one of them, are forgiven by his death on the cross. Death's demand on you because of your sin is finished. It's fulfilled. It's completed in Christ. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus has fulfilled the law perfectly for you. There is no eternal death waiting for you because everything that can and should condemn you has been paid for by the blood of Christ, by his perfect death, by his sacrifice, by his fulfilling the law completely and then giving that holiness to you. When our old evil foe comes to us again, wants to condemn us, wants to put on us the heavy coat of guilt for things that we have done and things that we haven't done, send him to the cross. Send him to hear Jesus' very words spoken to you. "It is finished, devil. My sin is paid for. I am free and forgiven because of what Jesus has done and given to me." When you're tempted by your desires, when the world tempts you to live outside of your baptism, remember, you are changed. You're maybe not glowing like Moses or like Jesus did, but you are changed. You are holy and righteous now because of the gift of faith that Christ has given to you. Jesus' words on the cross fulfilled all the demands of the law for all people. Most importantly, for you. The gift of that total and complete forgiveness was delivered to you when God's name was put upon you right there in the waters of your baptism. The eternal, holy name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was etched upon your forehead and upon your heart to remind you that you are redeemed. You are a child of God. His death on the cross, his fulfillment of the law was given perfectly to you, and now you are holy in God's eyes. You are forgiven and loved and his own dear child, and he continues to fight for you and to give you his gifts. You are holy and forgiven because Jesus has kept the law perfectly for you and given you this gift. Our life is a constant battle between the law that tries to condemn us and the gospel that has forgiven us. But remember, dear child of God, you're forgiven, you're changed, you're Christ's, and you're holy. In Jesus' name, amen. And now the peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.